seems almost as if they've been here before. 1 month things are a little better, 1 month things are a little bit worse. I would agree that things at the moment look a little better. If the tax cut had to be justified on the basis of avoiding a recession and on the basis of a stitch in time saves nine, then the case for it must have quite weakened in the last, I would even say in the last few weeks. You can just see the change in the tone of forecasters. You know what Roy Blau says, that economic forecasters like Eskimos, eight Eskimos lying in bed, you can be sure they'll all turn over together. Well, we're all turning over at the moment. It could be
we've been on this side before.
I think the major reason, if I try to find the major reason for the change in optimism, aside from the fact that the stock market has had three, four good weeks, and aside from the fact the auto is doing very well, I'd say it's the following. I'm not speaking in terms of economics. You can hardly have a recession of any magnitude in the post-war without inventory accumulation. If you've taken any of our previous recessions and taken out inventory change, to have a euphemism, final GMP, you can hardly see the recessions in them, even though the country thinks and knows it's been in one. Well, the inventories are lean. They haven't been built up, and nobody sees why, particularly with a little bit of the aftermath of Cuba, that people realize that there's something served by having a little excess inventory. Nobody seems to be very keen on reducing inventories. Well, if you can't put into a model inventory decumulation for a couple of quarters of 4 billion, 5 billion, you can't very well work out in the overall figures, not looking at unemployment, not looking at profits, and not looking at the FRB index. You can hardly get a recession. That's why in a memo that Bob and I did, just to be amusing and pretend to be accurate, we put the recession odds down to about a third. So I think that's the major change that's come about. I've listed some other reasons, and I've noticed I haven't seen the council's outlook. It looks to me as if it agrees with the way other people are going. I think I look back to see what the Aldemanos looked in July and August, and I think that the fundamental case is unchanged. I think the receptivity of the country is improved, but you have to judge on that. The economics of it still says that you're going to run big deficits anyway. You're going to probably be having a tough time keeping unemployment from climbing above 6%. The profit figures look still as if they peaked out in the fourth quarter of last year. So that you're in a crab-wise movement at best, although you can't rule out the possibility that something macabre like will turn up and the economy will do better than that.
What is really the explanation for, if with that terrific loss we had in the stock market in May and June, I think early July, the prospect of a recession this year seemed more imminent. Now, what do you think it is that's caused it not to come?
Well, I think that in July, one had to report truthfully that there was quite a body of opinion, let's say, of New York business analysts who thought that maybe the turn was at mid-year. The economic indicators always keep your adrenaline running.
They were down, weren't they? I saw some.
They had been.
Indicators were. The early July, wasn't there some story about the 2067 basic indicators, whatever this fellow is, the 23 year down? What's happening with basic indicators now?
I just was at the Outlook conference at the University of Michigan where he spoke with Jeff Moore, and his reading of the indicators now is that he can't tell whether they indicate just
only human.
Have the same opinions as the rest of us. Well, the main thing that's kept the economy going as well as it has is government expenditure.
Right. In fact, we run these deficits.
In fact, the expenditures
was $2.2 billion, for example, in the third quarter out of $3.3 billion increase in GDP.
That's not all federal government.
Yeah. No, that's federal state and local.
The only thing is, Henry Ford said to me the other day that he thought they could produce, well, Warren Ruthenberg said they could produce, this question of how much capital investment we're going to get, he said they could produce 10,000 cars without reviewing almost any capital investment. And Ford said they could
$10 million,
10 million, 11 million, he said.
The record shows that in 1955, the automobile companies have been much more progressive than our other big industries, and many of our other big industries are modernizing and moving ahead, so they are like that's the reason that one of the reasons that the steel industry has
time that you ask for the tax cut reduction, enough extra revenues from increase in business, you'll pick up a considerable amount of that later, but you don't pick it up in the same
year.
Fiscal year.
What has been remarkable, and certainly as compared to last spring, is the trend towards understanding the need, at least in, among labor and management and the responsible groups that we talk with, and some irresponsible ones, the understanding that you've got to have a tax cut in the face of a deficit. I don't know whether you had a chance to look at this memo summarizing yesterday's meeting.
Well, it's very interesting.
Remarkable.
The Wall Street Journal, yes, they came out with the lead editorial for tax cuts.
percentage that government expenditures of GNP is rising is the GNP is not rising very fast. And if we
take those figures back a year, they don't look like that. The expenditure proportion in 59 was 16.7 or 8 or something like that, right?
Yep, in 59, which was the recession year, it was 17.2.
Yeah.
And then before that, 58, it was 16.2, 59, 16.2, and then the bad years of 53, 54 was higher.
It wouldn't be wrong to call it essentially a stable percentage of GNP.
Well, except the last 3 or 4 years, it's gone small up.
Talking about the future, really.
He's really not talking. He's saying, not criticizing.
He's saying that if that percentage remains static, as your revenues go up, then you'll still be, after you get the benefit of the tax cut to the economy, you'll still be operating in deficit.
Now, look, perhaps Chairman Khrushchev is having some people say to him, you're getting the military expenditure up, even though our GNP is going pretty fast, numerator's been up faster than that. Hadn't you better watch out?
What about the budget? What percentage of the gross national product is the government spending in France or in Germany?
Germany is the largest in the world if you count on a consolidated basis, federal, state, and local. 34%.
Something in the 30, about 34.
There was a round of raise a question?
I just have to reserve a question on that. I'm not sure. I don't know the economics. I'm not sure how much of all this new investment you're going to do. You're talking about is going to go into the labor-saving devices. I hope a very great deal of it will.
Billion dollars of gross. He lays a good deal more store than you do about the psychological effect of this law on the books with the tax cuts.
I confess I lay more store on the psychological effect of the money being in the pocket.
Well, and the businessmen in the conference yesterday all were hopeful that this would be retroactive to January 1st.
We're not worried about inflation.
Not at all, because of excess capacity.
Well, I think what Wilbur has in mind is that he's got his eye focused in on that 1959 12.4 billion deficit Eisenhower's in.
I think he drew a play with two substantial deficits in the order of magnitude of 10 or 11 in two successive years, and to play with one that would be 16 and another one would be 8.
Money on every item myself, I make it up on the volume.
He's also indicating that he wants to put Medicare in back of any tax and no new program.
He was very careful to say, provided that procedure was agreeable.
Nobody wants to use exchange control.
They're not going to put the dollar on the carry.